Well, good morning again. Hopefully you got your coffee and your donuts and you're rubbing shoulders and saying hi to people. We love it when the body of Christ is connecting. Hopefully you are praying for one another and loving on one another and building relationships. We are going to finally make it to Philippians today. After 2 weeks of our introduction to Philippians, we're going to actually make it to some of Philippians today. So our first ever journey through an entire book here at COC, and we are so excited for this book. And if you remember kind of any of the introduction from the last 2 weeks, Paul was on this, they went on this big missionary journey, then they came back, and then they left again. It could be because Paul had this nudge in his heart. He's like, let's go check on the churches, right? And that's what kind of that, this desire that God put in his heart or highlighted to him, let's just go see how they're doing. Started this amazing, we call it the second missionary journey in Acts, second journey of Paul. And remember, they had some bumps along the way, him and Barnabas, they didn't see eye to eye, and so they kind of split up after years. The Holy Spirit kept them from going into two different places. I'm sure he's just going to be going, what is going on? Confusing. And then he has a dream. Remember the guy from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And he goes over to, he goes through the port town there and ends up at the town of Philippi. And there's not even a synagogue in the town. It was a Roman colony in Greece there in that area. And it was like a little Rome. And I can't think of the Latin phrase for it, but just as in Rome or just as in Italicum. Just Italicum, that's what it is. Just as in Italy. And so people that were born in that city were given Roman citizenship, which was a huge deal. That will come to play later on in Philippians. You'll understand that a little bit more. So Paul went outside the town, catching us back up to where we're at here at the beginning of Philippians. Paul, this is in Acts 16, Paul went outside the town to the river where he expected there to be people praying because there wasn't enough Jews in that city for a synagogue, and found some ladies praying. So a ladies' prayer meeting was the start of the church in Europe. And so Paul preached, and we see Lydia being the first convert ever. So we're reading now today, we're going to get to Philippians, and we're reading a letter written to this church in Philippi where Lydia was the first convert. Remember Lydia, she was a purple dealer, right? Purple dealer, not a purple dyer, but a purple dealer. She was a single mom, a go-getter. She had a family. She was a businesswoman, but she needed God. Said she was a worshiper of God, but she still needed to respond to the message. She still needed to give her heart to Christ. Being a worshiper of God is not enough. Only Jesus, only the price he paid is enough. And so the Lord opened her heart to respond. So Lydia responded, and then a little while later, there was this servant girl who was, had a demon, and so Paul cast that demon out of her. We don't know for sure if she joined the church or not, but I think I would if I was set free from demonic oppression. And then the jailer. Remember, we ended with the story about the jailer. Remember the separation anxiety because the earthquake, and he was going to kill himself because you would be killed if you lost your prisoners, but all the prisoners miraculously were still there. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And so Paul preached to him and his household, and they all were saved. And so that's how we saw Paul leave. They all then, after they got let out of prison, they all gathered. Well, there's one little sentence. They all gathered back at Lydia's house, and she was the very first one. So we know that there was a church meeting at her house. And so Paul leaves and goes on. 10 years later, look at somebody, say 10 years. 10 years later, the letter of Philippians is written. And so that's where we're joining the story today. So all of this that we talked about for the last 2 weeks happened 10 years ago. Okay? All these journeys, all of the preaching, all of that kind of stuff. And the church is growing. Okay? And so Paul writes a letter to them. And this is one of what, there's just a couple little facts at the beginning of here. So go ahead and check out, those of you that could care less. And the three of you that do care, this is one of what we call the prison epistles. And an epistle is essentially a letter. It's a special kind of a letter, but it's a letter. And that's what the word epistle means. And Dwight always used to say, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. Wah, wah. It wasn't a good joke for him either. I don't know. So the prison letters, the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, those were written by Paul while he was in prison. So the book of Philippians is one of those, what we would call the prison epistles. If you've never heard of that before, that's what they call these. It's the little grouping that they're in. What else do we know about this? We know a couple more facts. We know that Philippians was written after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. See, just because they're in order in your Bible does not mean that's the order that they were written in. Okay? I don't know if you knew that or not, but now you do. So it was written after 1st and 2nd Corinthians and probably right before Ephesians. They don't know for sure, but they think it was written right before Ephesians. Paul visited them, they think twice, once for sure on the third missionary journey, but thinks that he was able to get there. And I don't know if you remember about just the distance, like just it was so far as they were traveling. Paul traveled probably over 10,000 miles over his missionary journeys. 10,000 miles, right? We're pretty excited when we get our 10,000 steps in for the day, right? Anyone wear a Fitbit or anything like that? Anyone track your steps? You should. Come on. God, they're not being healthy. They should, right? Come on, every day. Eat healthy, track your steps. I'm just kidding. So Paul traveled. He visited twice. And so they also, the church in Philippi, sent Paul gifts, financial gifts, and they sent him letters at different times. There was some correspondence along the way. Yeah, I know this is boring stuff, but we're just kind of getting you up to speed on kind of this letter that he's writing to the Philippians. So Paul now is in prison, and you need money in prison. It's not, prison back in those days was a little different than prison these days. Like in prison now, three hots and a cot, right? Right? James is doing an awesome job making sure these guys are taken care of. James, back in the day, you didn't even need to feed them. Yep. They show up and you just sit there with your arms folded and make sure they don't escape and, you know, let them have it if they do. So that was kind of it. And so it's unfortunately, that's the same across the world today. If you go to a lot of countries today, if you end up in prison there, it's not like, oh gosh, I ended up in prison. It's like, I ended up in prison. If there's not someone to take care of me, I don't eat, I'll starve to death, I can't afford the necessities, a blanket or anything like that. And so that was largely the case. We think probably he was under house arrest here, so it wasn't quite as desperate, but the Philippians were still excited to support Paul in the work that he was doing. And so they sent him some support. They sent it through a guy named Epaphroditus, which I'm sure is a name that all of you considered for your children at one point. Epaphroditus was a guy from Philippi that they sent to Paul in Rome while he was in prison with a gift. They took an offering for him, okay? They didn't necessarily have mail like we had, and they wanted to make sure the money got there. So they sent it with this guy named Epaphroditus. And so I'll show you that here. This is Philippians chapter 2, so we're not starting at the beginning quite yet. Just a second. Paul says this, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, who is your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. So we get this insight on why this letter is written, who this guy was, how this all came together. One more verse. A couple more verses here. So then, we skip down a little bit. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. So that's in Philippians chapter 2. That's the backstory. So 10 years later, after these exciting times, now we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. Are you ready for this? Is there a lot of excitement? No, but just pretend there is. Just pretend for a minute. Yep. Pretend there's some excitement for this. We're going to get to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. We're going to read a couple verses here, and then we'll go back and talk about them. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, the city to the letter of the Philippians, right? In Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Couple sentences of introduction. Now we can move on, right? No, we're going to go back and talk about these for just a little bit. We're just going to hit a couple high points. What can we learn from this? What is this telling the Philippians? What would they have? Because did you know that the Bible says that every jot and tittle in the law, every little mark, every word of God is for our benefit? Like the word of God is flawless and it's for our benefit. It's for rebuking and training and correction. So even the greetings in these letters have something to offer. Every part of scripture, don't just skim over it unless you're like getting the broad view of it. Like it's valuable. It's anointed. It's the word of God, okay? So we're going to go back and look. So we start out with Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Seems simple enough, right? I love how Paul said, Paul and Timothy. And then from that time forward, you never hear of Timothy again, really. I mean, he mentions his name, but Timothy isn't actually writing this. How many of you know someone, and don't raise your hands, how many of you know someone in your life that loves to get credit? You have someone at work, someone, maybe you guys work on a thing as a team, and you always got Johnny. He's going to be like, yep, look at what I did, right? Someone's always taking a little more credit than they deserve. I love that Paul is writing this letter, and he was the one writing it. But because of his heart with Timothy and the conversations that they were having, he writes Paul and Timothy. And he gives Timothy credit when really Paul wrote it. And we know that, and he doesn't try to hide that or anything. But he's just saying, I want to let you know that Timothy's heart is here with this as well. I want to give credit. He's helping me here. He was quick to offer credit to other people. What do you think we can learn from these verses today? What can we learn from these verses today is that Timothy was not actually really truly involved in writing this letter, and yet Paul's giving credit there. What do you think we can learn from that scenario? Learn we can be quick to honor others, quick to share credit. Not that you got to be a martyr. Oh, no, I didn't do anything. You don't need to do that. But at the same time, quick to offer recognition to other people that are important. Right? Amen? Thank you, Kathy. Everyone else is still deciding if they're jumping on board or not. What else can we find out about this? Paul and Timothy, servants. Say servants. Sure. Servants. The word there actually means slaves. Slaves and actually... some versions translate it slaves. I didn't put that one in there. But Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Often, Paul would put Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, or however he would phrase it, an apostle of God by God's holy calling or whatever. He would often kind of share that he's, kind of to establish his authority. And as he's writing these letters, he would often say, an apostle of God. I'm an apostle of, by not by my choosing or not by man's will, but by God's design, right? You can find that all in the New Testament where Paul is, I think, 13 letters he wrote, where he's often saying, Paul, an apostle of God. And where here he just says, Paul and Timothy, servants. Servants. The letter to the Philippians is a little different than some of the other letters. Paul isn't correcting a lot of wrongdoing. I mean, there's a little bit of that. But what he's really doing is writing a letter of thank you to people that are really doing things well. This is a church at Philippi that they're mature and they're doing things well. So you get to see a healthy church that's walking well. And so Paul is fairly intimate with these guys. He knows these guys well. His heart is for them. And you know what Paul didn't have to do? Paul didn't have to flex, right? You guys know that person that always is reminding everyone else that they were like MVP or, I got the highest score in that or, I'm best in state at this kind of, they're always kind of, making sure, hey, just in case you forgot, Greg, did you know that I scored 100 out of 100 on every one of them? You should listen to me. And they're always kind of, right? They're always kind of, poofing their peacock feathers, aren't they? Now, I just want to make sure that don't, number one, don't forget that I'm good here, right? You don't want to forget that. And I love how Paul, what he's pointing to, we're servants, just like you. We're servants of God. We've got a different position, but we're servants. We're servants. We're on the same team here. My fellow peacocks, what can we learn from this today? Learn to be sheep and not peacocks, right? Amen? Be a sheep, not a peacock. Where did that come from? I don't know. But we don't necessarily always need to put out there our accomplishments. Proverbs says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, right? But as we dive deeper in, how crazy would it be? Think about this. The more intimate you become with someone, the less you need to flex, right? Think about this, and maybe this is how it is in some of your homes. If it is, come talk to us afterwards. But, you know, if every time, you know, you were, whatever, having dinner with your family, or, you know, you and your wife were laying down in the bed, you're like, hey, you remember, I am the best, right? Imagine if you were just constantly having to put that out there. Like, the more intimate you get, the more trust that's built, the more knowledge that there is shared, the greater the friendship, the less flexing there needs to be. Amen? Walk in humility. Be a servant. Be a servant. Now, whoever was just going to remind their spouse that, hey, you remember that, just relax. You don't have to let them know that. They know already. The next verse says this, or the rest of that verse says this: to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Other versions, the ESV says, to all the saints. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're a saint. Spouses, I bet that hurt, didn't it? Yeah? You're a saint. You are a saint. Say, I am a saint. I am a saint. How often do we say, listen, you know, I'm not perfect. I ain't no saint. Right? You're a saint. In the Word of God, the saints are the holy ones, those that have surrendered their life to Jesus. So let me ask you this. Every person in Philippi, were they perfect? Did they ever sin? Did they ever have a problem? Did they ever have a bad day? Did they ever mess up? Yes or no? Yes. Most of you are in consensus on that. Some of you are still on the fence. The church in Philippi was filled with normal people that had surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. And Paul, in turn, calls them holy people and calls them saints. The word is saints. He calls them saints of God. What can we learn from this? We can learn that the identity that I like to speak over myself sometimes, now we're on the opposite of flexing. Now I'm such a loser. I don't have what it takes, right? Anyone ever had a bad week and found yourself saying, mumbling things that feel like that? Boy, I just don't know if I just can't do this. I'm never gonna, I don't know if, right? This kind of this doubt and this speaking these things out over our own lives when God calls us saints. God calls us saints. Because we're so good? No. Not a little bit, because of the work of Jesus Christ. So let's live into that identity. Let's press into that. I am a holy people of Christ. I'm a saint of God. A saint of God. So we also see here that the church in Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, we see that 10 years later, they had overseers and deacons. They had grown. They weren't just a family that met at Lydia's house anymore. They had grown to a place where they had pastors, right? They had deacons. They had people that ran the church. And so Paul is writing this letter to the people of God along with those that are running the church. So this is a letter written to the entire church at Philippi. All right, we made it through verse 1. Look at us. We are cruising right along. My hunch is that as we go through the Philippians, that the pace will quicken, or it will be 2035 when we get through Philippians. But man, I was excited as I was digging into some of this. I'm like, man, we can learn stuff from this. We can learn things from this. So here we go. Back to more of the greeting. Verse 2 says this: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a greeting. Has anyone ever, think of a scenario, maybe you don't have one of these examples. I have a number of these examples. Have you ever had contact with someone that every time you see them, you kind of bristle a little bit, you kind of just cringe? Not that you don't like them even or whatever. It's just that sometimes maybe they're abrasive, you know? Like, if every time I greeted Jim, I'd be like, Jimmy, my buddy, right? Like, that would get old, like, after a couple times, right? Yeah. Yeah. We'll confer, yep.
One and done.
One and done, yeah, exactly. So I'm not even saying that I'm doing anything wrong. It's just, yeah, okay. Oh, gosh, he's going to do this again. I had a kid that, he's still here. I don't see him as often as I used to, but for about a year and a half. And I would forget about it every single time. And every time I saw him, he would come up to me, Gurk, and he'd take his fingers like this, and he'd poke me in the forehead. like hard. And I would just get angry. And I'd be mad at myself that I forgot that he was going to do that, and then I fell for it again. He just loved doing that. Just every single time. It matters how we greet people. That's the lesson from this little sliver of scripture here. There's more than we're going to find out about this, but it matters. It matters our interaction with people. So, you know, don't poke people in the forehead. Let's start with that and go from there. But sometimes how we greet people can be, just for fun, we're going to leave Philippians just for one verse and look at Proverbs 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Oh, yes. Shh. Wait till we get our coffee. Just hold on. Right? All you morning people, we love you. Just dial it down. Just tone it down a little bit. Just give us a minute to wake up. Yep. I've been taking my son to school until he's got his hours in and can get his driver's license. So I've been taking him to school in the morning. And the other morning he was excited. I don't think he's really a morning person, but he's just pretty cheerful in the morning and jabbery. And so he was telling me about, we've been lifting weights together. And so he was telling me about his workout and kind of how he was sore. I forget what it was. And finally he just stopped. Well, actually we got in the car and he just stopped and he looked over. He said, Dad, either you're not listening or you just don't care. I'm like, son, I've been taking you to school for like 2 months now. I don't like talking in the morning. Just, this isn't woke up yet. He's like, oh, okay. I'm like, it's not you, it's me, right? So how we greet people matters. Now let's look at this greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in every one of Paul's greetings. And it's, remember when we studied favor, the favor of the Lord, the grace of God? It's, they really call these the twins. It's the Greek blessing and the Hebrew blessing, grace and peace. So grace is the Greek word, charis, and shalom is the Hebrew word, peace. So when he's saying grace and peace, he's really unifying both of these groups of people that are now one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we skip over these. We're like, oh, that's a cool greeting. Yeah, normally we say, hi, how are you? Or hey, what's up? Or hello. And that's not really, it's not like an exchange like that. What Paul is saying is this. He's saying grace to you from Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace, if you remember from our teaching, it's the empowering presence of God enabling us to be what he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do. It's the favor, the face of God. Remember the face of God, those weeks that we talked about that? It's the countenance of God lighting up when he sees us. It's the I am for you. It's the I'm empowering you. It's not you, it's me, and not in the way that I just said, but in the good way. It's like, let me help you. It's the breath of God blowing on our lives. It's that grace of God that helps us to do what he's called us to do. It enables us to live this life out. And shalom, he's not just to be like, peace, brother. That's not what he's saying. It's shalom. It's nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness and completeness in God. So when Paul is writing this, he's starting out this greeting, hey, we're servants of God. And then he goes right into grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace and peace to you. What he's saying is, church in Philippi, may the Lord richly bless you. May his face be on you. May the grace of God be stirring in your hearts and empowering you to walk out as you are walking and surrounded in this wholeness with nothing missing in your life, with a fullness of God in you, with the peace of Jesus in your heart. Grace and peace to you. Yeah. It's a lot better than hey, sup, right? Like he's just proclaiming this over them. Here's how one guy put it. Bob Deffenbaugh said, his translation of grace and peace here, He's saying, Paul is saying this, may each of you who has personally experienced God's grace through trusting in the saving work of Christ continue to experience his grace in many other ways in your life. And may you continue to experience a deep inner peace in your life, a peace that commenced with your salvation and continues throughout the rest of your days. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from him, imparted to you. So my question is this. Are you a grace and peace bringer? Paul was. Paul sees this moment. Like every word of God that's in the word of God is there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. Our words matter. Our words matter. Our exchanges with one another matter. I'm not getting all crazy and all legalistic and saying you can't just say hi to someone. I'm just saying, man, it matters. Like, how do people, well, I actually wrote it up here. What's people's experience of me? What are you imparting and depositing in their lives? We talked about that a couple weeks ago, about impartation. You guys carry something. What are you imparting? If you guys are do any of the emotional intelligence kind of stuff, like kind of being aware of people's experience of you, right? If we want to mature, we're not just aware of what's in here. We're aware of what's out there and how they're interpreting what's in here, right? Just great communication. Just simple, great communication is, well, I said this. Well, they heard that, right? Sometimes we say things and anyone ever been misheard on something? Judging by the chuckles, I'm going to say yes. And you're like, no, I know I said. And you even go back, you look at the tape, and you're like, see, I said it. But people heard something else. It was taken out of context. It was taken, and not intentionally. It just got taken wrongly. In our marriages, gosh, in our friendships, with our children, how many times, with our bosses, how many times do we not practice? I just heard a stat on this, and I wish I would have written it down, but I did not. But the amount of communication that actually gets through, and in the they did some studies on this. Yeah, come on in. They did some studies and some clinical studies on, and some really cool ways of how we communicate and how much of that actually gets understood. And it is freaky. The numbers are really low. If you're married, you understand that, right? You know. But I said this, and listen, but I heard this, right? We've got filters. And so, I mean, just... Okay, just 101, just we'll give you a freebie here. This is not what we're talking about this morning. But empathic communication, just like the next level of you talk, then they talk, then you talk. Just a simple exercise. If you're struggling in your communication, see, I can say this well, and yet that's probably Marnie and I's biggest struggle. We let you guys know that all the time. We're working, guys. We're trying. Whew. It's tough. We love each other to death, and someday we still struggle with communication. That's just, we assume the other one knows what we're talking about. But what one of the tools that we use some of the time is, especially when we're in conflict, or when, you know, I'll say something, and she'll say, so what I hear you saying, and so not snotty, but she'll just repeat back. And when I hear it back, I go, oh, that's not quite what I'm trying to say. And all of a sudden, I know that she didn't understand what was in my heart. And probably was my fault. I probably didn't say it in the way that, because I said it how I wanted to say it. She heard it how she wanted to hear it, right? And we do that often, and we all do it, and we don't realize that we're doing it. So that's just like the baby step up in better communication. Yeah, we haven't even barely got the baby step yet, but we're working on it. We've only been married, 22 years, so we're just getting started, right? We're just getting our feet into this thing. So, back to her experience of me in that moment. So I'm saying something, but, you know, whether it's my tone or whether it's how I'm saying it or whether it's past experiences, knowing what her experience is of me, so grace and peace. What's people's experience of you? I'm not talking about necessarily what your character is, but how do people experience you? Could we just change a little bit of our tone or how we greet people or how we walk into a room? Do they experience, when you walk into a room, do you make it more godly? And I don't mean that in the way that it sounds. Well, finally, the righteous one's here. That's not what I mean. Does it look more like Jesus? Is there peace, more peace in there? You guys ever, here, okay, come back to me. All right, look at me. That was a lot of rambling, I know. Have you ever had anyone in your life, you know, family member, friend, church member, whatever, that when they're around, you can just breathe? It's like, when I'm with them, I just feel more peaceful. Does that resonate with you? Anyone ever had that experience? Or I feel loved. I feel at ease. I feel safe. I feel trusted. I feel heard. I feel seen. You know, whatever it is, that should be us. Are people having that experience? Or are people walking away with, well, yeah, he's probably right, but I just want to punch him money. You know, like what are people's experience of us? Paul wanted to make sure that they experienced grace and peace. And he declared that over them. He made a prophetic declaration over them, grace and peace. I just like that so much. Let's be peace bringers and grace bringers. Amen? Can we do that? Can we bring grace everywhere that we go? Can we impart peace into people's lives? Yeah. Next verse says this. Verse 3. We've made it through two verses already. Look at this. We are on like rocket speed. Yep. Verse 3 says, I thank God every time I remember you. Hard question for me this morning. Do I thank God for people in my life? Or are they utilitarian for me? Do they meet a need? Am I friends with them because of what they bring, because of what I can get out of it? Well, I would never think of it like that. I'd never say it like that. But is my heart genuinely thankful for the people in my life? Or do I see the people in my life as obstacles? I had that conversation last Sunday with someone. And actually, I was one of the obstacles, actually. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry for that. And not anymore, but at one point I was. Do I see people as obstacles in my life, or do I see people that are helping? Because God's sovereign, man. He's bringing people into my life. Are they helping to sandpaper the rough edges off of me? And sometimes they do that in ways that hurt, right? Like, am I thankful for the people in my life, or am I only looking at them as something to go around, avoid, conquer, overcome, get through, you know, not listen to? Am I thankful? All right. Just about kind of to the culmination of this morning here. Verses 4 through 5, this is our last section of Scripture. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In all of my prayers, no condemnation here, but as your pastor, just being honest here. Like, if we were going to add those up, would we need two pieces of paper? All of your prayers? Like, we get this sense here. Well, that's Paul. He's some superhuman. I got to remind you guys, Paul is writing multiple times, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, follow my example here. And so Paul is saying, I'm praying all the time for you guys, and I pray with joy. So Paul had this thankfulness and this joy for this Philippian church. Thank you guys for staying with me so far. You're doing well. You're doing well today. I'm praying with joy because of you. Do people bring joy in your life? Do you bring them before the Lord with joy? We should. This is the example that Paul has laid out for us. And I just want to kind of land on this last little part here for just a little bit this morning. The same verses here. I pray with joy because of your partnership. Everybody say partnership. Partnership. Let's close out with this thought this morning. From the first day until now, how many years had passed from that first day until this letter? How many years? 10. 10 years. So 10 years. So something happened. Paul has joy. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Something happened in their lives on that very first day that continued. Something that every time Paul thought about it and every time he prayed for them, there was joy in his heart and he was excited about it. Not just because they called themselves Christians or something like that, but there was some change in their life that happened on that day. This joining together, this partnership from the first day until now. And I just had this word all week long, partnership, just stirring in my heart. My God, that's a powerful word. What are you talking about here? And I thought about it, and as I kind of just dug in, and I think this is accurate, I had this question. And this is going to sound harsh, This is not as harsh as it sounds. So I'm going to put another slide up there. And this is going to sound kind of like just your normal kind of digging in there, preacher, you know, spitting and like kind of like, ah, come on, you turkeys. Like, it's going to sound like that. And I don't mean it necessarily like that. I'm talking about more of a mindset. So are you a partner in the gospel or are you a customer of Christianity? Come on. Are you a partner in the gospel of Christ? Paul prayed with joy because of their partnership. They're joining together. Or are you a consumer, a customer? Hey, I got $5. I'm going to spend that on some Jesus today. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about a partner mindset. We're going to talk about how we think about this relationship with Jesus. Because I'm going to promise you, if you have a customer, and I'm going to say that a lot of people in America, in Christianity, and again, this is just not a dig, just from my own experience in my own life at times, I've had a customer mindset. We miss out on the fullness of Christianity. We can never experience the fullness of Christ and his working in our lives with a customer mindset. Now, the grace of God is amazing, and he lets us be a doofus once in a while and helps us along. You're like, okay, come on. But I'm just saying, as if we approach Christianity with a consumer mindset, that's not how it's meant to be lived out. So a partner mindset, let's look at the differences. A customer is in it because they want or need something. A partner has in mind the needs of others. So if I'm, if I want a candy bar after church, right? I'm going to take my $2 and I'm going to go up to Teal's Market or whatever, or K&K, and I'm going to go, because why am I getting this chocolate? I want it. Because I want it. Well, it's so good of you to think of K&K. I don't really care who has the chocolate, honestly. I don't care. Great that, I do, but like in my story here. If I'm in a different town, I don't care if it's Bill's, market or if Frank's grocery machine. I don't care. I want chocolate. And that's all that I'm really concerned about in that moment. Most often it would, on our trips, would be coffee or good food. But, for this story, it's chocolate. And I don't really care where it comes from. I just want it to be good. Because I've got $2 here and I want some chocolate. How often do we approach Christianity like that? Mm-hmm. I've got this verse and I want. And I'm not saying, man, we gotta claim verses. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm talking about a mindset here. I'm talking about approaching it with this mentality versus a partnership. Man, I'm in this. Locked arms. We're in this together. I'm thinking about the needs of others, right? Because we're about something here. We're partnered with the gospel. We're thinking of not just my needs. All right? Another one. A customer is focused on what do we want? Chocolate. When do we want it? Thanks, Jim. Man, I thought more of you guys would be on board with that one. I don't know. What do we want? Indian tacos. When do we want them? Okay, a few more on that one. Ladies, I thought we'd get the chocolate with you. You just, well, all the ladies are like, we already have some in our purse. we've got stashes everywhere. Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, glove box of the car, the other kids, yeah. That is funny. I wish you could be up here looking at the ladies' faces right now. That is so funny. My wife has stashes as well. And so I don't always find them, but a customer is focused on this moment. A partner's got a vision for it. They're in this for something, right? Like if you're partnered in, whether it's in business or your partner in life or like, man, you're joined and there's a reason. You're focused on more than just this moment. How many of us in Christianity, not you guys, I'm talking about other Christians, right? How many of us in Christianity, man, it's about what is happening right now? Oh, God, right now. And we have to bring our requests to God, but like it's just so in this moment versus this bigger picture, versus looking down the road, what's going to be happening in the future? Couple more. Customer wants to be comfortable. Right? I want it easy. I want it microwavable. I want it accessible. If I could, if you got a fresh vending machine and I don't even need to go talk to people, I put the money in, it comes right out there. Oh, I like that. Good. Now I can just go enjoy my chocolate, right? We want it comfortable, the right temperature, right? The right volume, the right everything. A partner understands sacrifice and is even energized by sacrifice. They know that this thing is worth doing. And sometimes I don't get what I want. Sometimes I'm not comfortable. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way that I wanted it to, but you know what? For the greater good. We're talking about partnering with the gospel here. Don't lose track of what, like, kind of the heart. We're talking in generals, but Paul is saying your partnership in the gospel. A customer, I don't know what that says. Looks like some texts that I get sometimes. A customer is there when things are popular and going well. Like, as long as they're selling the right brands, right? That's the free market. As long as, you know, everyone's going to whatever store, pick one. I don't want to offend anybody or promote some store that I shouldn't. I don't know. As long as everyone's going to Joe's shirts and stuff, right? As long as he's got the popular shirts, right? We're all going to go to Joe's shirts. But as soon as someone says, oh, that's not cool anymore, Joe's shirts are dumb, and like the whole swing of society is like, yep, Joe's shirts are dumb. Then we're going to go, right? Then we're going to go to Frank's shirts because he's got the cool shirts now. Customers are there like when things are easy and things are going well. A partner is committed and faithful and dialed in even through the tough times. How many great partnerships, right? There's seasons. I mean, whether it's, you know, friendships that we're in this for life, whether it's marriages, whether it's partnering with the gospel. You know, we've got a... It's super popular right now to deconstruct your faith, right? Everyone's just like, yeah, well, I don't really believe in Jesus anymore. Like, there's some kind of something out there, right? And that's popular, and that's really fueled a lot of people to, as we call it, deconstruction, which deconstruction can be a good thing, but these guys are just deconstructing everything, and they're just saying, yeah, we just don't even believe anymore, just because that's really popular right now. We're just about done. But a partner is committed through these hard times. Customer says, what can I get? Partner says, what can I give? Because they know that there's something. Like, put this together with Christianity. Partnering with the gospel. How can I serve? How can I give? Customer bears no responsibility. Hey, listen, that thing was broken when I got there. Like, wait. You give your $5 and you get your chocolate bar. You open up your chocolate bar. There's only half a bar in there. Guess what I'm doing? I'm going back to, what did I say it was, John's or Joe's, whatever, whoever sold me that chocolate bar. And I don't have responsibility in this. You're responsible to give me a full chocolate bar, buddy. And now I should get two for my hassle, right? But a partner shares in the responsibility. Like, they take ownership of this. They take responsibility. I hope we're in behind the scenes, you're translating this into Christianity, partnering with the gospel, right? It's our responsibility to see the kingdom of God move here on earth. Last one. A customer trades their resources for goods and services. Well, church should be happy that I show up and give my $5 in the offering. I'm keeping that chair warm, right? Now, not none of you guys. The other churches would do that, right? So we kind of view it as an exchange of my resources for what you're going to give me. You're going to give me the right kind of preaching, well, obviously not today, but the right kind of, you know, music, the right kind of handshakes, the right kind of donuts, whatever it is, because, right, I'm giving you my $5, you give me what I want in return. Like, again, this is not trying to be overly harsh. I'm just trying to make some generalizations here. Why Paul was so excited was because their partnership. Now look at this one. This is our last thing for today. Partners share resources. If I choose to partner with God, partner with the gospel, it costs me all that I have. But guess what? I get all that heaven has. Come on. Come on. There's just a call right here this morning. Just to surrender our hearts. Just to go, like, if you're not seeing the resources, again, this isn't meant to be harsh. This is an invitation. Like, God promises me that he will supply a couple of my needs. Is that what it says? All. Come on. Because why? Because when I'm surrendered, when my heart is yielded, when I'm a disciple of Christ, when I'm not just a consumer, when I'm not a customer. Hey, God, I gave you my $5 and I prayed twice last year. Let's see some return, right? When we're all in, God, I'm serving you. Paul and Timothy, servants, slaves. I know that now God is fighting for me. His angels are encamping around me. He is supplying my needs. He's guarding my heart. He's helping me. He's moving with me. But I've got to be surrendered, and I've got that choice. Am I just going to be a customer of Christianity? I like Jesus because it makes me feel a little bit better. Well, yeah, that's true. But if that's where it stops, I'm not a partner. Man, I haven't surrendered. I haven't given him over my life. I'm letting him prune me and clean me and purify my heart and embrace my life and serve him with all that I've got. Because when I do that, all of heaven's resources then become my resources. And that's an amazing invitation. And I know you guys are all there, so we're just preaching to the video audience this morning. But I just loved that idea. And so we see, I'll just put it back up there. I know we're running a little long today, but I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, I just bless these people today. I bless them with grace and peace today. Help us to be servants of the Lord and help us to be partners in the gospel. Lord, having all of heaven's resources, Lord, after we give you all of ours, Lord, it's our lives laid down for you, God. Because you laid down for years for us. Just bless them with a great day today. May we just honor Jesus everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.